Welcome where you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Today, we are very happy to have with us Sabrina Farisi. Now, she is a journalist and an author, and she's written a great book entitled Blessed Carlo Acutis, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. And this beautiful book, and I mean beautiful book, is available at ewtnrc.com. You can go to the website, carloacutis.com. Well, and then we had Joan on Monday, and hopefully he is blessed and he will be made a saint, hopefully, maybe before the end of the year.
Well, who knows?
Which will be
They're
very
not sure
exciting.
About the date, but there's
you
more to come on that.
You never know, but there is more to come on that, and so we're watching for that.
Yeah.
And so today it's July 3rd. We're all getting ready for the 4th of July, which is tomorrow. We had a great show on Monday and talking about and celebrating the birth of our nation.
Yeah.
And one of the things I talked about was about Ronald Reagan saying that you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. Mm. One of the things that Jim and I agreed to do was we signed up with Cardinal Burke to do the 9-month novena to pray for our country, to pray for a revival, to pray for an awakening. And here we are in this month of July, and we will have the Eucharistic, beautiful celebration that's going to be happening in Indianapolis. We're in the 3-year revival of the Eucharist, right? This is who we are as Catholics, you and I. So we have to ask God during this time to revive us, awaken us, renew us. And we have the National Congress, the National Eucharistic Congress, and that's happening in July 17th through the 21st in Indiana, in Indianapolis, Indiana. So a lot is happening. We want you to be a part of it. Wake up, everybody. We just need to wake up. This is an exciting time to be alive. Let us do our part, and especially pray for our country as we get forward to November and our election time. God help us.
You sound like Carlo Acutis. So he was revived. He was renewed, like he was shot out of a cannon, even in his being declared a blessed. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Okay.
Welcome back. Well, we are very happy to have with us Sabrina Farisi. She is a journalist and an author, and she's written a great book entitled Blessed Carlo Acutis, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. And this beautiful book is available at ewtnrc.com. Go out to the website, carloacutis.com. Well, Sabrina, we are so excited to have you with us today.
It's great to be here. My first time in Alabama.
Good. And we're sorry it's so hot.
It's okay. It's hot in New York, too. It's hot in New York.
Yeah, it's really hot. You don't want to come here in July. It gets hotter.
Yeah.
But we want you first to tell our family a little bit about your beautiful self.
Sure.
And then how did you find out about Carlo, and what led you to this book and writing this project?
Okay. So first about me. I'm from New York. But I was born in Italy. My dad's Italian, my mother's from Chile, so I was brought up in New York from this immigrant family. We spoke Italian and Spanish at home. So it was because of these Italian, Spanish, and English speaking skills that eventually, when I got married in 99, my husband and I moved to Rome, and I worked for 5 years as a journalist covering the Vatican.
Wow.
I covered the last couple of years of Pope John Paul II's papacy, which was a true blessing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I've been writing for the National Catholic Register for years, and in 2020, one of my editors contacted me and said, Sabrina, we want you to cover this beatification that's coming up. There's this boy named Carlo. Could you do it? And I said, sure. I didn't know that much about Carlo, nor did anyone, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit in Italy, but his name wasn't that well known in Catholic circles. So Carlo really just like burst into my life that year, and I started doing research. I was able to interview his mother, and really one of the most beautiful journalistic experiences of my life. So I write this article about him, and the very next day I got contacted by Holy Heroes. And Holy Heroes, as you know, is a publisher of material about the saints, but in a way that is palatable to young people. So they make audio CDs and books about the lives of saints, you know, geared towards the young. They said, you know, this this story about Carlo is exactly what we would love to do something with, because he was a teenager when he passed. Could you do it? And I said, sure. So I wrote a script for a CD, and then we wrote the companion book. And that companion book came out in 2021, 22. You know, after COVID, it was hard to get things published, but my book was the first one in English to come out in the States. And it's been wonderful. Yeah. We're now on our third printing. There's a lot of interest. So, you know, when I started the project, very few people knew about Carlo. Now, it seems that in the Catholic world, he's taken the Catholic world by storm.
Right.
It is rather rapid, fast speed, isn't
it? Incredible, incredible.
Well, it's a wonderful book. We've really enjoyed reading it. Yeah. We even like the feel of it.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's no cheap quality paper. It's just it's really nice.
Yeah.
And while it's focused, you know, especially for youth, I felt like it was written for me as an older adult. So I've just learned so much that's here. You know, I was just looking at the title here, the subtitle. The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
So that sounds a little space-like. You know, what does that mean? I think I have an idea. Let me guess. Go ahead, you say.
So basically, the thing about Carlo, which is so attractive, is that he was a millennial, and so people can relate to him. Yeah. Teenagers can relate to him, but you know what? Adults, we can relate to him, too. So he lived in our times. He had a laptop. He was a computer programmer. He had a flip phone, because in those days they didn't have smartphones, but he had a flip phone. He had a PlayStation, he wore jeans and sneakers. Yeah. He did the things that we do, and so he's very relatable. He was a very fun kid. He was beloved in his community, in his high school. So, I mean, he was a teenager that was living in our times. So that's why people love him so much. But the thing about Carlo is, he was living with one foot on earth and one foot in heaven. So on one hand, super normal kid, had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
He skied, he played soccer, he taught himself the saxophone. But then he was also very religious. So he was known as the super religious kid in his high school. He was also the super computer geek in his high school. And but even though he was very religious, he was never shunned because he had such an attractive personality. And that's the thing with Carlo, is that when you have faith, it doesn't take away from you, it gives to you. And so everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. He had a lot of friends coming over for play dates, kids who weren't practicing the faith, and yet they were friends with Carlo. He would talk about the faith with them. He never hid it, but he wasn't pushy. But he just had this force of attraction, and many kids did come to the faith. During his life and afterwards.
Well, because his journey was, it was very natural, it was very authentic.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when he made his first communion at the age of seven, from that point on, he made, as a seven-year-old, an intentional decision to be a daily communicant. Now, his parents weren't on his page. It's not like his parents were there and saying, Carlo, you must come to church. No, that wasn't happening.
So this is what's so unique about Carlo. Generally, when you read the lives of saints, like Saint Therese of Lisieux, you know, they were born into these very devout families with parents who were super devout. That was not the case with Carlo. So Carlo was the one who brought his parents back to the faith. Antonia, his mother, would say readily that Carlo saved her, because if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't have even begun her spiritual journey. He was the one asking all these questions. He was the one begging to go to Mass every day. So you're right. At the age of seven, he receives his first communion 2 years earlier than normal, because in Italy you get your communion at the age of nine. He had to get special permission. From that day on, he went to Mass every day. And because he was little, he needed someone to take him. So he would say, Mom, can you bring me? Dad, can you bring me? The housekeeper was bringing him, sometimes a babysitter, the grandmother. And the thing is, I have to say something about the Acutis family. They followed him. They had the humility to follow him and to recognize there was something very special. That doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there are other families where, you know, the child might be very religious and the parents will make fun of them or whatever. The Acutis family, they saw that Carlo was onto something, and they followed him.
Yeah.
So very, very beautiful.
Yeah. So Carlo was born in England.
Yeah.
And then at a very early age, the family returned to Italy. What part of Italy were they in?
So, yeah. He was born in London at the age, like, 3 or 4 months. They moved back to Milan, and that's where he lived the rest of his life, his very young life. So they lived in the center of Milan, very well-to-do family. They had a housekeeper who I believe lived in the house with them. Very normal, you know, northern Italian family. Yeah. I think the mother was from the south, the dad was from northern Italy.
But he did spend a lot of time with his grandparents, right?
Yes.
And really loved that.
Right. He spent time with the grandparents in the south during their summers. Oh, this is another thing that's interesting about Carlo, and a lot of people can relate. The mother was working. The mother worked from the time he was a young baby because she had a publishing house in the family, and her father died suddenly when she was in her mid-20s, so she had to take over the business. So she was working, she was traveling, they had to have in-house nannies. So very modern family, you know, this is not a family from the 1800s, this is a family we can all relate to.
Yeah. So Carlo wasn't one of those fellows, like I was really, who experienced a radical conversion to the Lord that changed my direction in life. The same thing with saints. He seems to be, you know, he got hold of this, and Jesus got hold of him. He received the Holy Eucharist. Like, he just really encountered and believed.
Yeah.
Which is really what, you know, like I said to my kids, you don't need a testimony, like my testimony.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the testimony needs to be, I met the Lord at a very early age, and I continued to fall in love with him throughout my life. Is that his story?
So, Carlo, what Antonia told me is that, you know, she believes in the life of the church, there are certain saints that are given extraordinary graces very young, like Padre Pio, when he was young, could see his guardian angel. Carlo, at a very young age, was extremely aware of the presence of God in his life. He was asking questions. He was asking his parents to bring him into churches. Every time they'd walk by, you know, Italy has a church in every corner.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would ask them to go inside. He would put flowers in front of the statues of Mary and Jesus. He just had this extraordinary grace and perception and desire for the Lord that was something, you know, there's a documentary in Italian where one of Carlo's cousins was interviewed. And she said, you know, Carlo was just like any other kid, except for this faith, which was so big, it just like burst forth from him, and it infected all of us. And it was very normal for him, you know, during the summers, he'd be in Assisi with the cousins, and he'd get up and be like, okay, guys, we're gonna go to mass, and then we're gonna go walk the dogs, and then we're gonna go fly the kites.
And we're gonna make a movie.
And and then he's like, and then we're gonna play the rosary, and everyone's like, okay. You know, and he was such an attractive personality that, you know, some kids who maybe weren't doing this in their own families were like, okay, we'll do it because it's you.
Yeah, so beautiful. Now, he was born in 1991.
Yeah.
And the internet was just like hitting us, right? But he was so taken with technology. What did he think about technology?
So he thought that technology could be an atomic bomb for good or it can be an atomic bomb for bad. This is literally a quote that Antonia said. So he recognized that so much good could be done, and he did a lot of good with technology, and we can talk about that later. But he also was very concerned that teenagers were, teenagers or young people were spending massive amounts of time on the internet, playing video games, losing touch with reality. He didn't like that people were so much in the virtual world, but not hanging out with friends, flesh and blood in front of you. He also worried about, you know, the scourge of pornography and cyberbullying. And social media was starting during his lifetime. And that was also something that he was worried about because he was very modest. He never wanted his name to be anywhere. And so he didn't think that, you know, taking pictures of yourself and constantly putting it on social media was a healthy thing because it's a kind of idolatry of the self. And he thought, you know, all the attention should be on God, not on ourselves. So when Carlo was, I don't know, 14 or 15, his Eucharistic Miracles exhibit went to, it traveled around Italy and it went to the Vatican. He insisted his name not be on it Not because he wasn't proud, but because he didn't want attention on himself. He's like, we want the attention to be on the Lord, not on me. Right. So.
And he had discovered all of these Eucharistic miracles. Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
So he studied that. He looked into that. He put them all down. So I could see him saying, you know, I've compiled this, but this wasn't me anyway. This is what I've been focused upon.
Yeah.
And he believed it. I mean, he believed in those miracles.
Yes, yes. It's fascinating because when I started doing my research for this project, I mean, this was just a few years ago. I only knew about two of these miracles. I knew about Lanciano, Italy, and I knew about the one in Buenos Aires. And so I went on this website that he had created, which you can find. If you Google Carlo Acutis, Eucharistic Miracles, you can find this website. And I was astounded. There are 163 stories of Eucharistic miracles around the world. You can just click on this map of the world or a list of the countries. And it's just amazing. And when I was looking at this, I'm like, no one else had ever done this before him. And no one had done it. And with his family, they traveled all over Europe and took pictures of these churches and these Eucharistic miracles for the website. I mean, he worked on this website for 4 years. This was his.
And he passed away at 15,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No,
what
it's
a
incredible.
Gift. I mean, that was such a gift to us, right?
Yeah.
And I even know EWTN does shows on the Eucharistic miracles, right? And they highlight them. And but it was him who brought it to us.
Right.
This is the list of them.
Yeah.
And it's not just one or two. This was like really happening.
Yeah. And the thing is, so when Carlo was 11, he began to teach catechism. He was an assistant teacher of catechism in his parish.
Yeah.
And what he realized is that the kids were not that excited about the Eucharist, and it made him really sad. So he said, what can I do to increase, you know, excitement about the Eucharist? And he said, wait a minute, why don't I talk to them about these miracles? So that's when he started this Eucharistic Miracles exhibit, which became a website. And it's traveled the world. It's been in thousands of parishes. I'm sure you've been to, you know, one of these exhibits on all the continents.
Yes.
So it's incredible. And you know what Antonia told me last month? I interviewed her. This is Carlo's mom. She said that at this exhibit, I mean, it's been so incredible. There have been conversions during these exhibits, but there's also been miracles. There was a woman who had a tumor which was instantly healed while she was at one of these Eucharistic Miracles exhibits of Carlo Acutis. So it's just incredible. The Lord is very happy about this.
We're going to take a break at this point. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. More to come with Sabrina Farisi. Carlo Acutis is the name of the book, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Sabrina Farisi on Carlo Acutis, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. So as we were closing out that last segment, I was just looking at you and listening to you share about Carlo, and it's not just like you were recalling his life and so on and who he was, but you were speaking in such a way, I felt, that you're saying, like, he's alive, stuff's happening, things are happening around him now. And it was just so exciting. Tell us more about what's happening around Carlo as people are getting to know him.
So I interviewed Antonia 1 month ago, and she was telling me that they get emails every day about medical miracles happening around the world with documentation. They get information about people who've converted, of favors, and as I said before, there are even miracles happening while people are going to the Eucharistic Miracles exhibit. So this is not a saint who, you know, died a long time ago, who's someone from the past. He is active now, and people are praying to him, and things are happening now. So it's incredible. I mean, he's a very powerful saint. That's what I really want your listeners to, you know, understand. Pray to him, because he is answering prayers left and right. He's he's really active. And a very powerful saint.
St. John Paul II was so influential in our personal lives. And I you know, say to Joy, you know, he was like a meteor that just was going across the sky. And this young guy, I mean, seems to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's propelled so much. And he's saying, well, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see the one who I love.
Yeah.
Why do you think this is happening at this time with this young blessed?
Well, as I said before, people can relate to him. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of my sons. I have five kids, and one of them just graduated from college with a degree in computer science. And he said, Mom, I can't relate to any of the other saints, but I can relate to mm-hmm. Carlo because he was like me. He was into technology. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why he is so famous and so beloved now, because people can relate to him.
Mm-hmm. And he's for this time.
Yes.
Because the whole world is being run by technology, right?
Yeah.
And if not, every human being has a phone, and then you're engaged in some kind of way with the connection of it, to use it for good and not for evil.
Well, what he would say is we have to dominate technology. We can't let ourselves be dominated by technology.
Wow.
So that's really important. He used technology well. He wasn't enslaved by it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to keep remembering he passed away at age 50. Like, where did he get this wisdom from? He was kind of like an old, wise man, but yet so young and natural. So
well,
many components.
Well, we're going to have to talk about this. Is he had a spiritual plan every day.
Right.
You know? Well, we'll
thank
talk
God
about
you're
this.
Yeah, be with us tomorrow.
Okay.
So hope that you've enjoyed this incredible conversation today about Carlos Acutis, blessed, hopefully soon to be canonized a saint throughout the country, throughout the world, to look to ask his prayers in a special way for us at this time in our lives. The amazing discovery of a teenager in heaven. Go to EWTNRC.com. A saint for this age, a saint for this time. Share him with young people, especially this book. It's really tailored for young people to read. And everybody's saying, I can relate to him. He's just like a regular kid. But technology's there, and this deep love for the Lord, and a great awareness that we don't say we have one more day to live, even as young people. And he prepared himself to go home and to be with the Lord. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.